him at the Minneapolis-St. Paul airport. He wound up pleading guilty to disturbing the peace and hoped to keep that quiet. Craig is insisting that he is innocent and straight. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this Thursday, January 8th edition of the Knowing the Truth radio program. Let me just read a little section here for you. I think it'll tell you right away where we're heading in the broadcast today. Lifetime monogamy is passé. Pornography infiltrates nearly every home. Homosexuality is accepted. Lust has been redefined, and the family as an institution is questioned. That's the opening line. That's the opening paragraph on the back cover of a brand new book put out by Dr. Albert Mohler Jr. The name of that book is Desire and Deceit, The Real Cost of the New Sexual Tolerance. And that's what we're going to be talking about on the program today. To help me do that, my good friend Mel Duncan is with me in the studio. Mel, welcome on to the program with
you. Good afternoon, Kevin. Good to be with you. I bring you greetings from R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries, and looking forward to talking to Dr. Mohler today with you.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you here. I really appreciate your insight and your help on the broadcast, and so thank you for being here. Let's go right to the phone lines. Dr. Mohler is with us on the phone line, and so Dr. Mohler, welcome into the Knowing the Truth radio program again.
Kevin, it's great to be with you. My good friend Mel, it's great to have the conversation with you today.
Well, it's a delight to be with you, Dr. Mohler. Tell us, is your health good today?
It's doing very well, thank you. I'm very, very thankful. 2 years ago, I was in the throes of a crisis, and it's just a testimony to the Lord's mercy and grace. I'm very, very thankful.
Well, you have a friend at Ligonier Ministries, and I know you have a friend here at Knowing the Truth with Kevin Bowling.
Dr. Mohler, I want to get right to a look at your book, because I believe that what you've written about here is extremely important in the Christian realm, the Christian world, of course, but also even broader than that, just in our society today, to be talking about these issues. But before we do, I don't know if you are fully aware of this or not, but we have scheduled this broadcast right smack in the middle of a series of broadcasts that we've been doing about John Calvin. John Calvin, of course, for our listeners' sake, this is the 500th anniversary of John Calvin's birth, and so there are a number of events that are taking place really across the globe that are celebrating what John Calvin has done. On the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast, we have a number of broadcasts throughout the month of January scheduled, and we're using a book called John Calvin, A Heart for Devotion, Doctrine, and Doxology by Reformation Trust, a publishing arm of the Ligonier Ministries. And we're using that book as an outline for our discussion. 19 different authors have contributed to that book, and a number of those authors will be with us during this month. Before we start to talk about your latest book, Dr. Mohler, I wanted to ask you, would you like to briefly comment on Calvin the man or Calvin and his ministry before we launch into our other discussion?
Well, that is actually a good place to start. Amazingly enough, when people think about John Calvin, they normally would not think about a book written in 2008 on modern sexual confusion. Mm. But Calvin would get it. What you have in John Calvin is a God-obsessed preacher who was more concerned with anything else to understand how God's glory was to be manifested in every dimension of life. That's the first principle of his theology, and that's what really led to his Reformation convictions. He didn't reason from justification by faith alone back to the glory of God. Rather, it's the first principle of the glory of God. And I think if John Calvin were alive today, he would not be surprised by the sin, the confusion, the warped moralities of our day. I think he understood that as just a part of human depravity. But it would just throw into even sharper relief the absolute need of sinful humanity for rescue, and thus we would come to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when I look back, I think we should draw inspiration from a pastor who was so concerned to give his life for the reformation of the church, and I just hope that we can find equal courage 500 years later in the church today.
Amen. Well put, and a very good segue into our discussion today. Let me just tell our listeners a couple of ways that they can communicate with us and join the conversation today. First of all, by phone. This is the 800 number, so anybody listening across the country is welcome to join into the conversation. That number is 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Also, I am up and running on Twitter today, and so if you're the folks out there on Twitter, you can it's simply twitter.com/knowingthetruth. You can send us a tweet, and we'll go ahead and put your question or comment in that way. Dr. Moley, you just talked about, you know, about how the idea of John Calvin there, of course, was focusing towards the glory of God, and that immediately made me think about the preface of your book, where you say this, in other words, this is quoting from your book, in other words, we believe that sex is less important than many in the world would have us believe. Human existence is not first and foremost about sexual pleasure and the display of sexuality. There is much more to human life, fulfillment, and joy. Sex simply cannot deliver the promises made by our hyper-sexualized society. Comment on that preface that you write there.
You know, I think one of the most important things we must pray for is context and an understanding of how things fit together. One of the first things we would note in this culture is that if we didn't know anything about Americans, we would assume that Americans are absolutely obsessed with sex.
Mm-hmm.
If we had any anthropological understanding, we would then just to say, well, looking from the ancient Canaanites forward, evidently, that is a major problem for humanity, and that is understanding how sex fits within the context of life. There is no doubt that if you look at Hollywood, the advertising culture, the ambient culture around us, sex is what is put forth as the arena in which we are to find self-esteem, fulfillment, meaning in life, purpose. It can't deliver on any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it is, on the other hand, a very important part of life, and by no surprise to our Creator. That's the most amazing thing. Christianity is the only worldview that is able to speak responsibly about sex, which says, at the same time, sex is really important. In fact, it's more important than people who see it as a plaything could ever understand. But it's less important in terms of the main purpose of life. The main purpose of life is to find ourselves in relationship with our Creator, and by His grace and mercy and invitation. There is no way that sex can deliver meaning and purpose and self-esteem and just a reason for living. It just isn't that important. It can't fulfill that.
Mm.
Well, you know, one of the things that I say, I end up speaking to a lot of groups, and one of the places where I have the greatest opportunities on college campuses, and especially talking to Christian young people. I'm just going to speak very directly here. If you are a Christian young person today, if you're college age, you are surrounded by a world that tells you you are insane if you're not highly involved in a sexualized lifestyle. Now, thanks be to God, there are an incredible number of young Christians who are not. And so what they're trying to figure out is where all this fits together. But if they just open their eyes, they will see that their peers, who apparently believe that they can find all this fulfillment in sex, aren't ever finding it.
Mm-hmm.
Not in sex alone. You know, one of the things about the Christian worldview is that we learn never to separate the parts from the whole. And that's another one of the problems. Christians are the people who can never talk about sex without talking about marriage, without talking about creation, without talking about redemption, without talking about God's purpose for our lives. So we can never have a simple discussion about sex. We're the people who know that sex isn't simple.
Dr. Moeller, you referenced Joshua Harris's statement in your book that lust may be the defining issue for this generation. Why do you agree with that statement?
Well, I would say that I agree with it because of Genesis 3. And you'll know exactly what I mean by that. Josh is really onto something because he understands that lust, in terms of the kind of focused, commercialized, commodified, constant drumbeat of the culture, is what creates an incredible vulnerability for people today. And it's not to say that in any previous generation there was no vulnerability to lust. It is to say that most previous generations we would know had some protections and some boundaries around their lives, and there were some limitations in the culture that prevented lust from becoming what it is today. But frankly, you know, I write a lot, as you know, in the book about pornography. The first thing we need to say about pornography is you see it when you walk in the mall before you ever get to a few clicks on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a culture that's presenting sexualized images and just the kind of constant stream of sexual messages and sexual images, lust becomes a very constant danger for virtually everyone all the time.
Dr. Moeller, what is then God's standard when it comes to lust, and how can we, living in this sex-saturated society, how do we pursue that standard?
You know, one of the main principles I hope we can come back to again and again is that a bad thing is often a good thing corrupted.
Mm-hmm.
And that is certainly a principle of our understanding creation from a Christian worldview. Many, many things we would think of as bad, morally wrong, and evil are good things that are corrupted. Lust is sexual desire corrupted. Sexual desire is not a bad thing in and of itself. But in the Bible, but when you look at the Edenic model of what that would have meant, sexual desire would have led a young man and a young woman to focus their lives on growing into adulthood in order to enter into the union of marriage exclusively and purely in such a way that they would show the glory of God in their relationship, which would include a sexual relationship. God wasn't surprised when Adam and Eve had a sex drive. He gave it to them.
Mm-hmm.
But he gave it to them in order to bring them together in the union of marriage, which it turns out is actually a picture of the gospel. That's how important marriage is. And so one of the things we need to say about lust is we need to first of all, understand that Christians have sometimes answered that question in a very wrong way, which is more or less like turn it off, like any kind of sexual desire is wrong. We need to say that lust is the corruption of sexual desire. It is sexual desire unloosed from marriage, unloosed from morality in terms of God's standards, and it is a sexual desire that has its wrong object as a focus. Now, that doesn't mean that we say to people, just forget about sex. It means find the glory of God. And when you find the glory of God, in the glory of God, you will find your greatest pleasure. That's the first principle we should say about sex. It isn't about do's and don'ts first. It certainly gets to that. It is, first of all, about finding God's glory, because if we really understand the Creator's love for us, if we find His glory, there we're going to find our greatest pleasure.
Isn't it amazing that that's a radical thing to say? Dr. Moeller, you may have followed the last couple of days, the brouhaha created by our cultural commentator Ann Coulter over at NBC when she was disinvited and then reinvited to the Today Show yesterday. And it was interesting to watch her interview. She simply made the comment that most of the problems of society are the fruit of a wrong view of sex, desire, deceit, and lust. And it was amazing to watch the mainstream media commentators utter shock at how can you say such a thing? It's just not even in the consciousness of mainstream thinking anymore, is it?
Well, there is a moral category known as willful blindness. And that's the kind of blindness that we choose for ourselves. We refuse to see what is obviously there. And it's fascinating when you mention the mainstream media, they are the ones who are the conduits for so many of these messages, and then they act as if they do not exist. The reality is that we have a culture that in the elites, and by the elites I mean the people who are basically framing the intellectual debates and the people who influence the media, who create the cultural products in Hollywood and elsewhere, they are convinced that sex is the means of reaching people with a message. And we need to understand that it's never just about sex. It's about a moral revolution. Sex becomes the entry, the door. It becomes the fuse on a far larger moral project. And again, Christians are the ones who understand that. We understand that Genesis 3 wasn't even first of all about sex. It was first of all about human pride and arrogance as the human creatures wanted to be as God. But when human beings fell, sex fell. And thus, from that point onward, we have to assume confusion.
We are speaking with Dr. R. Albert Moeller, Jr., who is the ninth president of the historic Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. We're talking with him about his new book, Desire and Deceit, The Real Cost of the New Sexual Tolerance. This is a wonderful new book put out by Multnomah. I was out at the bookstore just the other day. It's available. It's a wonderful gift to give to your young people who are perhaps wrestling with this for the first time on college campuses or in high school or youth contexts. And Dr. Moeller is a unique figure in evangelicalism today. He's not only a minister of the gospel, he not only is one of our outstanding theologians, but he is speaking to our culture, the Bible, and what God has to say, and we need to listen. And we're delighted to have him with us today.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Moeller, we've been talking primarily right here about the relationship between a man and a woman. But obviously, in our society today, we have this whole other issue that has risen up beyond measure almost now with the Proposition 8. It's, of course, very much in the news. This change that has taken place in the homosexual movement, if I could list it that way, we had two groups target Greenville, South Carolina last year and had an opportunity to address both of those groups when they came here. But the names of the groups now are changing. The one that came was called Faith in America, and the other one was called Soul Force. So their message now, as you can hear in those names, is that the Bible is condoning the activities that they're participating in. Would you speak to that issue a little bit, please?
Oh, absolutely. That's a great question and a very keen observation. It gets to this point, I think. If your goal is to normalize homosexuality, and that is clearly the goal of this movement, it has been now for the better part of 40 years, going back to the late 60s, if your motivation is to normalize homosexuality, you have two huge obstacles in your path. The first was medical, and the second is theological. The first was the fact that the vast majority of Americans back in the 1960s believed that homosexuality was a mental illness. And so the homosexual movement went at that full bore on a very concerted political effort. And in 1973, the American Psychiatric Association voted in its meeting in Honolulu, Hawaii, that homosexuality was now no longer a psychiatric disorder. Now, just think about that. 24 hours before, it was. Now it's not. That's not science. That's not medicine. You know, they don't hold meetings at the American Medical Association and decide a carcinoma is cancer one day and it's not the next. That was a purely political effort. But, you know, that's 1973, and we can now look back over the past 35 years and say the fact that the APA and later the American Psychological Association decertified, you might say, homosexuality as a mental illness has led to massive shifts in this culture. Now, whether you mentioned the conversation on the Today Show or anything else, to suggest that there's anything wrong with homosexuality in terms of a psychological or psychiatric kind of profile is to write yourself off into the wilderness. The bigger issue after the medical is the theological, because, and this is still true, and the Proposition 8 debate has made this very clear, the vast majority of Americans, even more Americans than we would ever believe would be constituted by regenerate believers in Christ, believe that God holds homosexuality to be a sin. If you're going to normalize homosexuality, you have to convince people that that is wrong, which, by the way, is a Herculean effort. And they're not winning on this. My favorite article recently was Charles M. Blow's article in the New York Times after Proposition 8. Columnist in the New York Times was giving advice to those pushing against Proposition 8. And he said, whatever you do, don't try to argue the Bible. He said, every time you bring up the Bible, you lose. Well, there's a good reason for that. If you read the Bible, it's very clear.
Mm-hmm.
So when you mention the question, you know, why, you know, faith in the world, why Soul Force, this is an effort to try to co-opt the church on the issue of homosexuality. And let's just notice, here's the great principle. If the church rejects or compromises biblical authority, it is absolutely vulnerable to this kind of argument. Mm-hmm. That's why liberal Protestant denominations are capitulating one by one on the question.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Moeller, you took a tremendous amount of flack for a statement that you had made talking about the DNA or the gay gene some time ago. And I think as I understood what you were saying, I agreed with what you were saying, that even if it were found that people had a propensity towards a certain sin, that does does not justify then acting upon those propensities. Is that a correct understanding of what you were trying to say?
Absolutely. You know, one of the big problems right now, whether you're a philosopher or a psychologist or a medical doctor, is that the current tendency in terms of the science is biological reductionism. You know, there are serious arguments right now going on in college and university campuses as to whether human beings even have a consciousness or if it's just a matter of chemicals operating in the brain. We around us are surrounded by people who increasingly believe that we are our genes. And there's no doubt that genetics has a great deal to do with who we are. And as we learn more about the genetic profile in the human genome, it may explain a whole lot about ourselves that we don't understand physiologically. But, you know, from a biblical worldview, if you understand Genesis 3, all of creation fell in Genesis 3. And if Paul in Romans 8 tells us that all of creation is groaning for the appearing of the sons of men, and that is for the consummation of all things to the glory of God in the name of Christ, if all of creation is groaning, if every single part of creation testifies to the fall, then we have to assume that our genetic structure is corrupted by the fall. And the Bible actually, in its own way, tells us that. Because we were not, in terms of Genesis 2, we were not carrying genes that led us to death. But with sin came death. And now every single human genome is encoded to grow to maturity and then to grow towards death.
Mm.
So, you know, you're exactly right. I think you just watch the headlines. You can imagine in a short number of years, we're going to have reports on the fact that a genetic link between lying, a genetic link between stubbornness, a genetic link to disobedience to parents has been found. There's still sin because God says they violate his law, they rob him of his glory, they deny his holy character. Sin is not reducible to biology, and we've got to be the people who know that.
Dr. Moeller, I think we just have time for one more question with you. It's been a delight to be with you today. Where are we going with this? And is the evangelical church abandoning, particularly the homosexuality part of this discussion, is the evangelical church losing its nerve on this? Are we going wobbly, as Margaret Thatcher once said to George Bush? Where are we going on this, do you think?
Well, I'm afraid we do see a lot of wobble going on. I think you see it with the kind of polls and surveys done, especially of younger evangelicals, and especially of the evangelicals who are trying to negotiate their way into a friendly posture with the culture. Because Mel and Kevin, I think there are two great issues, and I'm getting ready to publish an article on this. I think there are two hot spots that are going to be enough to make you into a far-right extremist fundamentalist before you get to anything else. And I honestly believe this, and I believe it's true right now, today. This isn't some kind of future speak. It's true today. If you are in many sectors of the culture, particularly if you're on a secular college or university campus, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the only Savior and that salvation comes only to those who come to a saving knowledge of him, and if you believe that homosexuality is a sin, then you are written off and you are considered to be in a far radical extreme regardless of anything else you believe. And that's a very high cost to pay. You know, sociologists call that a cognitive cost. You pay a cost on a campus for standing out on an issue. And, you get to the issue of wobble. There are just an awful lot of younger evangelicals who I don't think have been adequately grounded in the scriptures. They haven't been adequately taught. They don't see the big picture. And we've got a lot of ground to recover, or we're going to see a lot of wobbling all over the place.
Dr. Moeller, some of our emerging friends are saying we should not talk about this for a while. Why should we talk about it right now?
Well, you know, I find that absolutely laughable, because you have to talk about it to say you're not going to talk about it. It's kind of like the atheist quandary. Atheists don't want to talk about God, but every time he says God doesn't exist, he ends up talking about God. You know, let me tell you one quick anecdote. I received a phone call from a reporter from one of the major national newspapers. He called me about a year ago. He asked me three questions in a row. All three questions were on homosexuality. The fourth question he asked me was, would you please tell me why all you talk about is homosexuality? And I turned to him and I said, forgive me, but I don't think I called you. I think you called me.
Yeah.
And he actually laughed. I have to say, he caught himself. But the reason we can't be silent about this is, first of all, because we're being asked the question. And if you're being asked the question, it is cowardice and unfaithfulness to refuse or to avoid answering the question. The second reason we have to speak about this is because the Word of God speaks so specifically and clearly to it. And if our task is to teach and preach the Word of God, we don't have the right to hide behind texts we're just afraid to preach.
Well, Dr. Moeller, although we certainly lament the current state of things, not only in our society, but in the church as well, if there's one silver lining, I would imagine, is that at least the battle lines are being clearly drawn, and you can't hide very well on either side of this. You know, you kind of been flushed out of the bushes here, and we, you know, you need to state your position. And so I think that might be one silver lining that we can look at this and tell very quickly which side people are on. Dr. Moeller, thank you very much for taking the time out. I know you got to run to another interview, but you know it's not going to be as fun as this one was. But thank you very much for taking the time to be with us here on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
It was my privilege, and Kevin and Mel, I'll be with you guys anytime. God bless you there.
All right. Thank you very much. We've been talking to Dr. Albert Moeller. The actual full title of his name is R. Albert Moeller, Jr., but he's the president, of course, of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, which is the flagship school of the Southern Baptist Convention. And not only that, he does so much more in other roles as well. He's recognized by such publications as Time Magazine, Christianity Today, as one of the country's most influential leaders. He's appeared on Larry King, The Today Show, Good Morning America, Dateline, The O'Reilly Factor. Plus, he has his own daily radio program as well. So we just so much appreciate Dr. Moeller's ministry and great having him on the program today. Again, his book, Desire and Deceit, The Real Cost of the New Sexual Tolerance by Multnomah. You can go out to their website, mpbooks.com. Me and Mel will be right back in a minute.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Hi, I'm Scott Gorman from Detour Traffic. Be sure to tune in to Christian Worldview Today, weekday mornings from 7 to 9 on Christian Talk 660. Dr. Tony Beam will get your mind going with today's hot topics, and I'll keep you posted on the upstate roadways with reports every 15 minutes. Plus, if your business would like to sponsor traffic on Christian Worldview Today, visit detourtraffic.com. You'll find more information about partnership opportunities and details on how you can get in contact with me. More life-changing teaching and talk is on the way right here on Christian Talk 660.
Here's Dr. Everett of Strides Nonprofit Tutoring with another academic tip.
Sometimes a student has a reading assignment that's just too hard. Here's a way to help a child get through tough material. Trade words. You read one, he reads one. It not only helps the child make it through the text, but the student reads every one of the words along the way. It's a great bonding time, too, as you support your child. Our website is stridestutor.org or call 246-9898.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Stevie D's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Stevie D's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Stevie D's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Stevie D's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio program. For the first half, we were speaking with Dr. Albert Moeller about his latest book, Desire and Deceit. Mel and I are going to discuss that a little bit further here in just a second. But again, I want to give you the opportunity. You can certainly participate in the conversation today. We'd love to hear your thoughts. 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Additionally, Twitter is up and running. If you're familiar with Twitter, I've got it running simply just twitter.com/knowingthetruth. You can send what's called a tweet. You can send me a tweet, a little 140-character message, and that works nice. You know, that whole idea that you can only have 140 characters to work with, I wish we could do that with a phone sometimes. Maybe we're going to implement a tweet standard to some of the phone calls. If you call, you state your question or your comment briefly in a tweet form, and so that would help us in getting through a number of callers. But you're certainly invited to call, invited to comment on what we've been talking about thus far. Mel, any comments about this discussion with Dr.
Sure, Mueller? Kevin. I was thinking as we were talking with Dr. Mueller that if the Knowing the Truth radio program were a shipyard or a marina, we've just been visited by the battleship Missouri. Dr. Mueller is just an interesting man. You know, we were talking at the beginning about the Calvin 500 quincentenary that you're observing here.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Mueller is one of those folks in our day and age he's a prolific writer and thinker, and he's just helpful to us as we talk about these issues. You know, we're talking about this whole idea of the new sexuality, how that's affecting the church and evangelicalism. One of the things that's interesting about living in a place like Greenville is that this is just now becoming an issue for us. You know, you've experienced this through those two groups that you mentioned.
That's right.
And maybe in other parts of the country, this is a more out in the open kind of thing. One of the things that strikes me about this is it's actually good when it's out in the open.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you do have to confront it, when you do have to speak about it, you do wrestle with your own biblical conviction in a way that you might not have to if you're not dealing with the homosexuality issue in your church,
mm-hmm,
or in the workplace. There are a lot of churches in Greenville that are wrestling with the issue of, can we just out and out say this or that about homosexuality? And the reason they're wrestling with it is that they're not being driven by biblical convention, but they're trying to respond to a social convention, and they're not going to the Bible first to respond.
You know, Mel, even a little bit beyond that, that's a great thought, and a little bit beyond that is the way that we do respond. You know, the historical way here in Greenville, let me just say, in fundamentalism, the historical way to respond was with bullhorns and placards.
Yeah.
And let me just say that methodology has failed.
Yeah.
And we don't need to be afraid to engage in the conversation because we're right. And we know that we're right because we're standing and building our basis for the argument upon solid biblical, unchanging principles of the Word of God. So therefore, we don't have to treat people in that manner. We wouldn't do it with any other sin.
Yeah.
We can engage them in a conversation, go to the Scriptures, and look at what the Scripture has to say. And whether they hear or whether they forbear, we should still handle it in a way that is God-honoring.
And part of the way we respond by putting the bullhorn down and picking our Bible up and having a conversation is that the issue of homosexuality is not a one-off issue.
Mm-hmm.
This is a whole way of the way you look at man. As Dr. Mueller said, this goes back to Genesis 3.
Mm-hmm.
This goes back to the whole idea of, did God really create you specially? Did God really imbibe you with desires that are natural? Did God really give you the capacity to love,
mm-hmm,
and to seek love from others? And I think when you look at it from a whole worldview standpoint,
mm-hmm,
and when you realize that the whole way we look at our own heterosexuality is going to impact the way we look at homosexuality, you can have a conversation that isn't just yelling at people.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And just think about, you know, we wouldn't do this with adultery. You know, we wouldn't stand out there with fornication or any other sexual sin. Let's just put it in that same category. Yeah. That's not been our approach, you know, to divorce or to other things like that. But in this one, I think that it certainly has touched a nerve, and it
shocks the sensibilities of folks.
It does.
Who just don't want to think about it.
Right.
And it's just not the world we live in anymore. It's there. It's in Greenville, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to help these sisters and brothers who are struggling with it.
And I can certainly understand about the shocking of that sensibility, but I'm just saying, as believers, we just really need to think about our response.
Yeah.
You know, how are we going to do this? And I could make the case, I think, that we will get far better results doing it this way than doing it the way that we have in the past. We're actually, in other words, converts.
Yeah.
to Christianity, yeah. you know, as we talked to them about their soul. That was my experience. I went down during the days when the torch couldn't come through Greenville, and there was all of that that took place over this issue. And I went down to the county courthouse there, or the county square, I'm sorry, and got in conversations. You know, there's different people that are involved in this homosexual movement here. Some are caught up in it. Some, you know, just feel that these are the people that are listening to them the most.
Others, Kevin, see it as a civil rights political thing,
exactly.
and they really don't have a bone in the whole spiritual aspect of it.
Right.
And they see this as they're on some historic manifest trajectory that America is, you know, just like with civil rights and women, that this is the next thing to liberate a group of people. And that's not right.
Yeah.
This is a choice. This is something that, there may be some folks, as Dr. Moeller said, just like there's some folks, there's one of them sitting behind this microphone that likes to eat a little bit more than he should. Sure, you know, God gives us all challenges, but the Bible also says God doesn't give us more than we can bear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're talking about today.
Amen. Because I was going to say, too, that there's different groups within that bigger subset of homosexuality. And I got in conversations with a couple of girls that were down there, and they started weeping, you know, as we were in the conversation, as I spoke to them about their soul and how they really didn't want, did you really want to do this? Did you really want to be involved in this? And they were just right there on the sidewalk in the midst of a group of people shouting and throwing things and all kinds
Kevin,
of stuff.
Kevin, as a pastor, have you found that folks in this particular kind of struggle are so screaming at the world for them to be noticed that they're actually more open to gospel things?
I think if they're willing to listen, if someone will sit down and honestly and not hypocritically address the issue from a biblical standard. I feel that a lot of them feel that we're so hypocritical about it that we will, as Jerry Bridges pointed out, that there are respectable sins.
And then there are spectacular sins.
And then there are spectacular sins. And so we exalt those and make a big hubbub, but we ignore the other. And I think they see that and they say, you know, you're being inconsistent, you're being hypocritical.
I hope our radio audience heard what you said, because if you listen carefully, talking to a homosexuality about sin is really no different than talking with anyone about anything.
That's right.
And that's what you're saying, is that we're befriending them.
See them as a soul.
Yeah.
You know, as a soul first and foremost. And a soul that, as we know, as believers, you know, the depravity of sin, original sin, sin nature, that's where we're going to. What the sin is another topic, you know, but see them as a soul first. That's all I'm saying.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Let's run to the phone lines very quickly. Don, Pittsburgh, you're up. Don, we got a couple calls, just so you know, just letting you know. But go ahead, my friend.
Just 2 points. Number one, what Al Moeller said about the gay gene issue and the propensity to sin.
Yes.
I think the Bible doesn't make a distinction between the propensity to sin and sin itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus said, if you look upon a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery. And the Westminster Confession, I believe in section 6, says that, you know, it's anything that, you know, leads to sin and all the motions thereof are truly and properly sin.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's an interesting point. And then the second thing is that a lot of time when you're talking to a homosexual, they'll think that, well, they'll say, well, that's who I am, so therefore you hate me. And when you say that I'm sinning and, you know, I shouldn't be a homosexual, you're attacking me personally, and you have to try to make it very clear that you're not doing that, that you love them and that you you know, want them to come to Christ and repent. That's all I had.
Yeah, you know, Don, even with that statement about they say, well, you're attacking me, who I am, I would say to that, well, in one way, yes, but I'm saying that you're no different than any other individual.
Right.
The Lord looks at us in the conclusion in Isaiah was, you know, spiritually before the Lord, full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. This is how our sin and our sin nature, our rebellion against God is viewed. That's not a very pretty picture.
No.
And, you know, the message is not, and God has a wonderful plan for your life.
Yeah, Romans 3 isn't a very pretty picture either.
Right.
You know, none righteous, no, not one.
Exactly.
And tongues are full of bitterness, or, you know, whatever, that whole passage.
Yeah, but exactly, that's where I would go with that, and I would say, well, just like you and your sin, are viewed this way before the Lord. Me and my sin before coming to Christ was viewed exactly the same way.
Yeah.
And I wasn't a pleasing thing to the Lord. I was a rebel, and I was in rebellion against God. I was at enmity with God, and all of those things that we know are true within the whole realm of the depravity of man and our natural state before the Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I would use that to say, well, let's stop focusing on the specific sin that you're committing now, and let's go deeper than that to talk about your spiritual condition before the Lord. Does
right.
that make sense?
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Don. Let's go to the phone line again. Juliet is up next. Juliet?
Good afternoon, Dr. Bowling. I had really great admiration for Dr. Moeller for his spiritual depth and for the effort he made with the Southern Baptist Convention to get the Exodus mandate, you know, to get the children out of the public schools. If I had come on, I would have asked him if he had joined on with the call to Dunkirk, which is a new movement to get the children out. But as I was listening to him talk about the fall and Genesis 3, mm-hmm. I was kind of waiting for him to get to Genesis 3:15, which is the glorious fact.
Yes.
In that was the promise of Christ that there would be salvation from that fall for those who believe,
mm-hmm.
for those who are called.
Amen.
I just think that probably my own pastor has taught that. You know, I've walked with the Lord for a long time, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
I had a masterful teacher in the Scriptures, but I didn't understand the promise of Christ in Genesis 3:15
mm-hmm.
until I sat under my existing pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that it's very important to teach that because
yeah.
it shows that Christ was before
mm-hmm.
all things. That all things consist, are made by him, consist of him, and that our eyes should be on Christ and not on an unregenerate people.
Well, that is an excellent point, and thank you, Juliet. I'm up against a hard break.
Thank you so much.
Yes, I thank you for your comments. I thank you for bestowing upon me that honorary doctorate degree as well. It's just Pastor Bowling. I'm just kidding with you. And so in by way of your comments, I wanted to say that, you know, that is such a great point. You know, we can't lose sight of the fact that Jesus Christ is what we're talking about in all this. We're talking about the fact that we're sinners, but we're only talking about that from the aspect of that there is a solution to our sin. And as Dr. Moeller pointed out, there were two questions that were the most questions that would alienate other people. And the second one was, is that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. And I give that a hearty amen. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
A compelling mix of ministry, public policy, lifestyle, and lighthearted fun on the phone. Janet Parshall's America.
For a lot of people, they're scared to death. They'd rather go to the mission field than to bring any kind of spiritual influence into the workplace. And we know we're being truthful here. Why is that?
We're excited to have her. She's Janet Parshall, and it's Janet Parshall's America. Right here, weekday afternoons from 2 to 5 on Christian Talk 660.
Today, the Dow Jones down about 450 points.
We're in some rocky times.
Sending oil prices spiking $25 a barrel at one point.
Coming up, more teaching and talk with a message to make your path a little smoother.
You're listening to Christian Talk 660.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the last segment of the Knowing the Truth radio program today. That means we're under 10 minutes. We're going to take a couple more calls if we can. And then we're also, Mel and I want to talk a little bit about a couple of upcoming events that I think you'll be interested in. One in Florida, but one also here locally. And so we want to get to that in just a minute. Before we do, let me give you the number again, 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. And also do have Twitter up and running, twitter.com/knowingthetruth. And you can send your comments or questions that way as well. Andy from Fountain Inn, you're up next. Welcome into the program today.
How you doing, sir?
Doing great, thank you.
Good. I was listening to both of, all of you all speak about homosexuality and so forth. And I think one good way, as far as if we're keeping Christ as our focus, of course, one good way to keep him as our focus is also to approach people like he did. When people would come to him and ask questions, he would always ask questions back at them. For example, if a homosexual person were to come to me and say, "Why do you hate me?" Mm-hmm. I would look at them and say, "Well, why do you choose to do what you do?" Mm-hmm. And what's interesting about that question is it's hard. It's extremely hard for a homosexual person to answer that question. Why do you do what you do? I mean, if you believe it's a chemical imbalance or if it's genes or...
Don't you think, Andy, that they just come right back and say, I do this because this is how God made me? That would be the answer that I would think that I would hear and have heard, you know, on a regular basis. I do this because this is who I am and this is how God has made me.
That's true. And I've heard that, too, when I've asked that question.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that when you share the gospel with them and say, okay, why do you do what you do? It's not according to God. It's not according to his purpose, especially physiology speaking. It's definitely not a part of their purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you choose what you do? Because a homosexual person, no matter if they think they were born into it or whatever, there's a point in their lives where they're going to find that person of the same sex attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why did you pursue that? You know, you say it yourself, you still have a choice to make. Why did you pursue that?
Yeah. You're pointing out, I think, what we had said, too, about the idea of propensity, that, you know, I have spoken to former homosexuals who have since been saved, and they say that they still have those inordinate desires towards people of the same sex, and that, but as you're saying, you know, they cast those thoughts down, as the scripture tells us. They suppress those things because they know that that is an ungodly activity to participate in. Now, those are fighting words in the homosexual community. They don't like to hear that at all. But I think you're pointing out just what we're, you know, really illustrating what we're talking about, that there may be a propensity towards this type of behavior. But that in and of itself does not make it right. That doesn't make it of God. And so that's important. Andy, if you'd like, I'd like to put your name on one of Dr. Moeller's books here, Desire and Deceit. And you could come by the studio here, 2420 Wade Hampton Boulevard, and pick up your copy if you'd like it.
Sure, that'd be great. Thank you.
Okay, Andy, we'll put it on there. Andy from Fountain Inn, thank you very much for calling into the program today. Mel, let's switch gears just a little bit, lest we run out of time.
Sure.
We've been talking to Dr. Moeller today, of course, about his book, but I wanted to let folks know that Dr. Moeller is actually going to be speaking at an upcoming conference there with Ligonier Ministries.
That's right, Kevin. In March of this year, March 19th through 21st, probably the largest evangelical reformed Bible conference in the country will take place in Orlando. And Dr. Moeller is going to join a galaxy of teachers, bright shining stars. And we will all gather together in Orlando for the Ligonier National Conference. We've talked about this over the last few years. If you're listening to this and you are looking for a wonderful opportunity to hear outstanding Christian teaching and scholarship, have an opportunity to meet some of the people whose books are on your shelves, have an opportunity to fellowship with literally thousands. There will probably be over 5,000 people there. This is a one-of-a-kind sort of event, and we would just like to invite everyone who is listening to go to ligonier.org, ligonier.org, and click on the Holiness of God National Conference banner and just look at what you can enjoy in mid-March in Central Florida.
This is going to be wonderful. You know, I say this a little bit of tongue-in-cheek, but I'm looking at a picture of all of the different speakers that will be there at this upcoming conference, and it's a little bit of a who's who's of the guests that I've had on the radio program.
It really is, Kevin.
Tabidi, Anya Buile will be with me next week. He'll be on Tuesday talking about Alistair Begg is in the works. I've talked to his folks there. And
Kevin, you need to know he's an NC State guy, so you need to get your ACC basketball references ready.
I'll have the sweatshirt on while I'm doing the broadcast. D.A. Carson will be there, Ligon Duncan, Sinclair Ferguson, Robert Godfrey, Steve Lawson. I'm a huge Steve Lawson fan. He's been on with me before. We talked about the expository genius of John Calvin. I anticipate he's going to be on with us again during this month to talk about John Calvin some more. Albert Mohler will be there, of course. R.C. Sproul, who was just with us recently talking about one of his children's books, The Prince's Poison Cup. R.C. Jr. is going to be there. Derek Thomas was on with me just 2 days ago. By the way, Derek Thomas blog, a number of people interested in that broadcast. We had 1,200 people go out and read the blog that morning when I listed that Derek Thomas was going to be on there on the radio broadcast. Just a wonderful man of God and wonderful theologian. So this conference, you guys are just packing it full.
This is going to be our biggest one ever.
This is great.
What's great about this is it's a good opportunity for folks from a church, maybe a leadership team, to go down together and use it as a spiritual venue to be challenged, but to fellowship with one another. Kevin, we found that folks just enjoy being around people of like mind. It's an encouraging thing. This is a great thing for your pastor, your leadership, but just for plain folks to go to. This is hard, good teaching, but it's a lot of fun. There's one night, as you know, every year at the National Conference where Ligonier puts on a wonderful musical presentation. So this is just a great event for folks to come to, ligonier.org, and look for the Holiness of God National Conference and plan to be a part of a really great event this year.
Yeah, I'll be there, and we do exactly what you were just saying. We actually take a group of folks from our church. We get a van, we take a group of folks from our church, and we use this as our retreat, if you would. You know, we go there, the folks come back just filled with the Word of God. In fact, that most of the time the information is so overwhelming from all the different speakers. It's about a 9 or 10 hour journey for us in the van, but that time that we spend back and forth then discussing, men and women going down, married couples, whatever, we go down and we talk about everything that we heard. Which one did you like the
best? Think about this as being Christmas morning with truth under the tree. I mean, it's that kind of an event. And, you know, if you are like the Mountain Bridge Church and you're going to go down in a group, let us know. We've got special pricing available for groups that want to go. We've got folks set up right now. If you go to our website and call our 1-800 number, who can talk with you. If you've never been, you've got to do one of these conferences. This is a great event for people to go to. It's a great opportunity to kind of see folks in the evangelical world that you've always wanted to see and hear and be taught by. And it's a real special thing to do. Central Florida in mid-March is a lot nicer than Greenville, I can tell you. And it's a good way if you want to stay an extra day or two and go to a park. It's not a bad way to do that, too. So a lot of folks come down, stay for the conference, go to RC's church in Sanford the Sunday afterwards, and you get to see folks. And there are actually folks who come down in their RVs and camp out throughout the conference. So there are meal plans available if folks want to do that. So let us know. Sign up and let us know if you want to be a part of it this year.
That's wonderful. And by the way, there is a pre-conference that really fits in well,
which fits in with your show. The pre-conference will be on John Calvin. Calvin is the theme of Knowing the Truth this month, and Calvin will be the theme of a lot of special events this year. Ligonier is getting in on that with a Calvin pre-conference in which Dr. Mohler and Ligon Duncan and Steve Lawson are going to participate in that. Derek Thomas, I think, may be in on that as well. And if you're interested in getting in on the Calvin crazies, come down for our pre-conference. Make sure to sign up for the pre-conference as part of your sign-up to do that. So,
amen. Let me tell them again, that website is www.ligonier.org. That's LIGONIER.org. You'll find out all the information out there, all of the registration information, and so you can get lined up to be able to go to that conference. I'm sure you're going to enjoy it. We're going to continue in our discussions over the next couple of broadcasts about John Calvin, the man in the ministry. We're going to be looking more thoroughly through the book, John Calvin, A Heart for Devotion, Doctrine and Doxology. Tabiti will be with me next Tuesday. We'll be talking about the transforming work of the Holy Spirit of God. You don't want to miss it. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia. Christian Talk 660.